Toe Cycle, this time with the Halle and its music director, Sir Mark Elder. Beethoven's Third Concerto is more turbulent than the ones that came before it, showcasing a more experimental side of the composer's musical language. And rounding off the evening, Strauss's great Ein Heldenleben, in which he casts himself as the central heroic figure, conveying his own life and struggle against adversity. Paul Lewis and the Halle in Friday evening's prom at 7 o'clock here on BBC Radio 3.
You're listening to BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. It's just after 11:30 and time now for Jazz Lineup. And since this programme was prepared, the composer Michael Garrick has been awarded an MBE. Our congratulations go to him. Now here is his special Jazz Lineup, introduced by Claire Martin.
Hello from the BBC studios at Maida Vale in West London. These studios have been home to countless hours of BBC music making in all genres, and it's from this very studio that Michael Garrick made his debut broadcast 50 years ago. Such a milestone could not go by without inviting back one of the most prolific names and individual artists in British jazz. In a moment, we'll be hearing Michael Garrick with his big band, but before we do, here to comment on the prolific composer and arranger is Radio 3's own Geoffrey Smith. Welcome, Geoffrey.
Hi, everybody. Thank you very much.
So, Geoffrey, hi. When's the first time you heard Michael Garrick play?
I think it was about 1990, and he did one of his suites is called Hardy Country, which was based on quotes from novels by Thomas Hardy, and I presented that. We did it as a show together for Radio 3. And I was very struck by that combination of literature and jazz that he works together so well.
Yeah, there's always kind of an elaborate theme to Mike's composition, the Peter Pan or the Zodiac.
Well, he's a man of parts.
Yes.
He's got a lot of interests, and he believes that all the interest you have as a musician should go into your music. So that's the thing that really makes him special, I think, because he doesn't stint in any sort of way of letting you know what he's thinking about and feeling.
Mm. Well, I think we're very keen to get on with the music. I can see Michael at the piano. The energy's flowing. Let's let the music begin. Mike will announce the items from the piano. But now, please welcome to play Firstborn, Michael Garrick and his big band, the Michael Garrick Big Band.
We'll be right back. there on the trumpet. Beautiful. And you heard the wonderful Dominic Ashworth on the guitar. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, what a lovely bunch of people to be able to play what one loves in music. We're going to play a piece now, which I was inspired by the Millennium. You know, all that fuss they make, you know, they love to make fusses, don't they? And so I called it Shambolism.
Oh, what I'm talking about. You know? That down home blues, you know.
We're now going to do a piece called Amethyst, and this features Dave Shulman and Matt Ridley. Stand up, Dave. And
on the double bass, Matt Wrigley.
Now, this piece is called Orient Wood, or Lady of the Orient Wood, and it has a place in our Duke Ellington tribute suite, which we did, I think, a year ago, 2 years ago. Anyway, there's a CD called Lady of the Orient Wood, a tribute, what is it, a magic tribute to Duke or something? Can't remember the title myself now. Anyway, this magic wood, you see. And so it's really an evocation of one of those woods that, you know, in children's tales is magic.
Thank you.
How about that lovely solo from Matt Ridley? Matt Ridley on the double bass. And of course, you also heard the trumpets again, Steve Waterman, Gabriel Garrick, and Martin Shaw. And the saxophone section. How about that for Glenn Miller brought to life, eh? Great. Thank you. So we're going to do Cuban Missile. Now, this is the thing, you know, I've tried very hard, but I just cannot write easy tunes. And it's been the bugbear of my life. So here it is. It's dedicated to the wonderful trumpet player from Cuba called Arturo Sandoval.
alto saxophone, Martin Hathaway. And on the trumpet at the back there, Steve Waterman. And holding it all together, the magnificent Alan Jackson on the drum.
Yeah. That was Cuban Missile, played by the Michael Garrick Big Band, and this is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3. And with me is Geoffrey Smith. So, Geoffrey, wonderful band, and really, let's talk about Garrick the man. He truly has an individual musical voice, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing to say, if you have your old musician ears on, those are some hard charts. And he really wants, as I said before, there's a lot he has to get in because there are a lot of things he brings to the music. He said, I can't write easy tunes, but then he has a very complex, nuanced, and subtle way of looking at things. I mean, the Orion Wood piece, which he prefaced by talking about magic and such, that's very Michael. In the same way that he brings to all these compositions his deep interest in English literature, religion, faith and mysticism fuels a lot of this stuff, and it's all going to go into the music. I mean, he said at the beginning, one of the groups that really interested me in the book that influenced him was the MJQ, I mean, the Modern Jazz Quartet, and he said he loved that combination of jazz fire with the formal and sublime. And I think that's, that's real Garrick territory. In the same way that he says he always has this fascination, he's always had this fascination with ideas and beliefs. And incredible ears. I mean, the kind of things you heard the band do all the way through. I mean, it's really hard. I don't know how you guys cope. having to do this simultaneous improvisation, I mean, free playing with several people within the band while the chart's cooking along. Really difficult.
I loved that bit. I thought
fantastic, but really hard to do. And then you've got to come back. And even the bits that are written, there are little bits of disjointment, rhythmic displacement, and you really have to hit that. I mean, the band sounds great.
Yeah, fantastic. But I was just watching the energy and the direction that Michael Garrick gives as a conductor. I mean, he's just on fire, isn't he? He's really into it. And I've never seen so much energy and enthusiasm dancing around, pirouetting at one stage.
But that's his sense, I think. It's funny talking about him.
I know he's right there.
But he said, one of the great things he said is that jazz, whether it's in rehearsal or performance, jazz is always new.
Well, I know you've read his book. You mentioned it then, Dusk Fire. Just tell us a bit more about that and what you learned from Michael that you didn't know, perhaps.
Well, it would have been hard before to imagine Michael as a student pilot flying for the RAF and finally getting chucked out for too much daredevil antics.
Is that true? That's what
happened?
That's
absolutely true. And I think that's what prefaced his adventures in his three-wheeler, his Reliant Robin, dashing about the streets of London. He's always had that streak, and I think that must be part of the jazz impulse as well.
And what about the there's some lovely pictures of him with Adelaide Horn singing with Cleo Lane. I mean, he just has done so much.
He's very good at the I think he was saying before that jazz is sort of a love music, and you care about the guys, the people you play with. And he has these wonderful little pen portraits of people like Joe Harriott. I've already mentioned the three-wheeler, and Joe refused to ride on it. He said, ride with him. He said, that Garrick, he go too fast on his one wheel. So he wasn't going to... And then there's another great story of Joe having, suffering from racial discrimination, and somebody said, well, why don't you go to Europe? You can be equal there. And Joe said, I don't want to be equal. I want to be superior. Which is... And it's full of stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, you learn an awful lot about the scene, the way it was, because he's been around. Michael has been around for so long, done so much. I mean, the varieties of education. He's been such a part of the scene.
And championing young artists. I remember when I first turned professional, he gave me a gig at the Berkhamsted Jazz Society, and he didn't, I was a complete newcomer, and he championed me, and I was very grateful because people talked about it because I was associated with his name. So that was a very kind... handout that's a long time ago now, but thank you very much for that. But let's talk about, he's now in a sort of unique list with sort of 50 years of broadcasting to his credit. I guess he's up there with, we've got to say Stan Tracy, Pete King, Cleo Lane. And
nobody ever seemed less like an elder statesman. But he's still got something, I hope he doesn't mind, that sort of slightly Pixie quality, that you never know what's going to happen next. I mean, certainly the charts sound like that.
How can we get music like this not appreciated more? I mean, we've sell out tonight, we're standing room only, and that's a wonderful reflection on people supporting Michael and his music. But big band music per se, I mean, it's quite a difficult thing to get on the road to you know, Michael's talked about this, getting gigs. I mean, how can we get this exposed more and for clubs to go, yeah, let's get some funding, let's get, you know, what can we do? How can we get this music heard?
Well, I mean, write to the relevant parties. That's where you always start. I don't know, outside of sitting down in the middle of the street. I don't know, it's difficult.
But big band music, you know, do you think it is in danger of actually sort of disappearing?
Well, I'm always glad when it rears its ensemble head again, because it's really a difficult sell, as you say. I mean, also because the culture really isn't attuned to it, you know.
Mm.
It needs more exposure to gain more exposure, if you want to see what I mean. Because the best thing about being in a band like this in the old days was you were on the road and playing all these charts in all the time. So they really became second nature to you.
Well, let's return to the band now as the Michael Garrick Big Band continue this concert. And this is Bittersweet in Jazz.
Thank you.
Thank you. You heard Sam Walker on the tenor. Sam Walker and Sam Bullard on the tenor. Steve Waterman on the trumpet. Bittersweet in Jazz. Yes, now that was the first of a rather distant reincarnation of our first broadcast with a quartet modelled on the MJQ in that it was vibes, piano, bass, drums. Vibraphone, we had David Jones. On the bass, we had Johnny Taylor. And on the drums, we had Terry Cox. So that was the first piece we played, only it was just with the four musicians, Bittersweet in Jazz. And, well, the whole of life is a bittersweet. And I don't know why it occurred to me then. I was, how long was the time? 1960, yeah, 27, something like that. Yeah, and then we followed it with the one that's coming up, which is called I Got Plenty of Nuttin'. And then another one, which I'll introduce as it comes to it, and then the last one. So these four are the same, and in the same order as we did them just then. So here we go now with I Got Plenty of Nothing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now there, amongst the others, you heard the magnificent Dave Schulman here. Yeah. Dave Schulman. And we're going to play this piece at his wedding. This was the third of the tunes we did in 1960, and it's called Wedding Day. Thank you. And everybody, lovely job. So the last of that quartet of pieces was an arrangement I'd done of Bobby Shafto. Do you remember him? This one features the triangle. The
Thank you.
Fisher on the trumpet. Mark DeSilva on the trombone. Martin Hathaway on the flute. Oh, good, yeah. Brilliant, yeah. All right.
So, Bobby Shafto, so this is the conclusion coming up now, and the title of the book, Duskfire. And this was directly inspired when I heard John Coltrane for the very first time, on record, of course. And it just indescribable.
Thank you.
Sam Walker. Sam Walker on the tenor. And Alan Jackson at the drums. Matt Ridley. Sam Walker. Sam Bullard. Martin Hathaway. Dave Schulman. Mick Foster. Dave Eaglestone. Mark De Silva. Alistair White. Steve Fishwick. Steve Waterman. Gabriel Garrett. Martin Shaw. Alan Jackson. Dominic Asher. On the guitar. Well, that's it, everybody. Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, Geoffrey Smith has been with me throughout this very special performance. Geoffrey, quite a night.
Ah, terrific. I mean, it's just sensational. Band sounded great. The music was great. And it was just a privilege to have been here.
Well, thanks. And we hope to hear you all again very soon. Absolutely fantastic. World-class musicians. Thanks to Michael Garrick. Well, that's it for this week. Thank you again to Michael Garrick and his big band, and for Geoffrey Smith for his comments. Till next time, from me, Claire Martin, at the BBC's Maid of El Studios in West London. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Through the Night on Radio 3, and I'm Susan Sharp with you for the next couple of hours, and really pleased to have your company. I hope you'll enjoy the Mozart concert coming up. The musicians of Harmonie Universelle are joined by 40 pianist Christoph Hammer in two of Mozart's early piano concertos, and they'll be playing two of his string quartets as well. The piano concerto in F, Kirchel 413, is one Mozart referred to in a letter to his father. "This F major concerto and the two that follow it," he said, "strike the perfect balance between being too easy and too difficult. To be successful," he added, "you have to write the kind of thing a coachman can go home singing." Thank you. Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 11 in F, Kirchhoff 413. Christoph Hammer was the forte pianist with Harmonie Universelle, Florian Deuter and Monika Weismann violins, David Glidden viola and Bolas Marta cello. Just the strings next, in one of the quartets Mozart dedicated to Haydn. The two of them had first met in the winter of 1781, when Haydn was visiting Vienna to supervise performances of some of his own quartets. Hearing them altered Mozart's own approach for good.